Heading into our guest interview segment for the day today and our monthly report from Director Angie Bruce with the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Director Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Duke. I am doing fantastic. Try not to get blown around too much in Casper this morning, but otherwise good.
Oh, Wendy Casper. Yes, yes, yes. Well, appreciate your time as always, Director. Quite a few things to talk about. First, a few investigations recently wrapping up. One in southwest Wyoming involving an individual and a whole bunch of people connected to Farson, but just announced yesterday, Rodney Gilstrup from Idaho Falls. 22, I think, different citations given to him from 2018 to 2021, pretending to be a Wyoming resident and was not. Maybe give us some background on this case that wrapped up just a few days ago.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, quite the incredible case. Took a lot of years to, you know, just put the bow on the top of this one. But very impressive. I mean, this is what our folks do is... They catch the bad guys, so to speak. But this one took a lot of involvement. It, you know, Wisconsin, Utah, Minnesota, other states were involved, four different county prosecutors in Wyoming and county law enforcement. And really, too, is the lay public who provided tips and evidence that led us there to begin with. Very critical part that we don't want to overlook. But yes, took a lot of work. Our game wardens, our investigators, they do a fantastic job of giving a case to the prosecutors that can win, collecting the evidence, showing the information, and being able to carry this one across the finish line. So pretty remarkable that this one got wrapped up here recently.
Yeah, so you have these two instances, the one involving the person of Farson that was using family members were coming in, as you mentioned, from multiple states. And then you had an individual at Idle Falls pretending to be a state resident that was hunting in Lincoln and Teton and Sublette counties. And both those wrapping up, and from what we've heard from some of our readers and listeners here, Director, two maybe common things, and one is first off, how does this happen, and how do people get away with it? So following these two cases, are the Game and Fish putting in any extra layers of security, if you will, to try and prevent this from happening in the future?
Good question. You know, we learn from everything. We learn the tricks of the trades, and every single one of these cases leads us to better knowledge about what people out there are doing. It sometimes makes me wonder if these folks have a network within themselves on how to get by with it, so to speak. Absolutely. We learn from this. We know what to look at closer to double check. We know these things are happening. A lot of times it's just collecting that evidence and making sure that we have a tight case to move forward. So I don't want to speak for my personnel, but I can most likely say that they did learn a lot from this case and how to look at things going forward as well.
Director, another question that comes up, and of course, you guys do the investigation and your game wardens do the investigation and hand it over to the court system. And of course, you know, charge it, or maybe sometimes from there it's out of your hands. But a lot of people thinking, man, 21 days in jail. And it seems like the punishment isn't quite enough for some people. Any comment on that? And do you think there needs to be changes on how severe the punishment is for these types of crimes?
Good question. That always catches me a little off guard. You know, yes, we would often like to see more. It depends specifically on the case. But as managers of the resource, you know, we implement state law and we don't create it. So I have over the last year-ish been talking to legislators and they've been asking about increasing fines for poaching and so forth. So that conversation is out there and I would not be surprised if this case sort of elevated that conversation even more.
Director Angie Bruce with the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Director, want to talk about Southern Lincoln County. Kemmer Reservoir has been lowered to make some repairs, and I know the Game and Fish is monitoring the situation, working with the with multiple agencies on this. Maybe tell us what the Game and Fish is doing and what your role is here in Southern Lincoln County with the reservoir.
Absolutely. We're working really closely with them because, of course, you know, managing the fisheries in that reservoir, but also above and below that reservoir in the river, the Hams Fork River, is really where we're focusing our efforts on, you know, brown, rainbow trout, mountain whitefish, some of the species that we're looking at. But as that reservoir gets worked on, so they're doing a maintenance project that is essential and evaluating the condition of it. About a fourth of a mile downstream of that reservoir has dried up because they're bypassing the water around it during this maintenance period. I'm not sure exactly how long it'll take. It'll depend on what they discover and the repairs needed. But we're planning on roughly a year maybe or more. And so we're looking at that fisheries and letting people know that they can still fish about a quarter mile downstream in the river, but that first immediate quarter mile is going to be dried up.
And you mentioned above the reservoir, of course, Lake Viva, not shouldn't have any impacts above, not at least not near as severe, correct?
That is correct, yes. And you might know more than me, Duke, about access to that reservoir as it's so low. If there is the ability for anglers to still get to the access, obviously there's still fish in there. But that is going to be much more limited than it would typically.
Director Angie Bruce this morning, Wyoming Game and Fish Department on the weekday wake up. Director, there was also some news that was put out by the Game and Fish regarding a looting incident in the Dubois area on some Game and Fish property. Can you update us on where this situation stands?
Yeah, this is actually extremely disappointing to see. So this area at Spence Moriarty, our wildlife management area there near Dubois, has an incredible historical resource. And it's really one of the first areas that we have evidence that that folks were doing large collective hunts with bison. And so there's these historical features of bison jumps there. I've been there. It's incredible to see. And so, therefore, there's a lot of artifacts. And we've had some looting there and some damage to the site. And we've had a gracious anonymous donor who's putting out a reward for any tips that would lead to a conviction, $10,000. We encourage people, if you know anything, if you hear conversations about folks and maybe some of the activity up there, please call our tip line or talk to a regional office, talk to a red shirt, or go on our website and leave a message. You can do that anonymously too if you don't want the award and want to keep quiet. So we would just really appreciate, again, such an incredible area. If you're up there looking at this, you can actually kind of imagine how this took place historically. And we just hate to see this happen, and it's really devastating.
Director, as always, thank you for your time and your comments and insights. Anything we missed that you'd like to mention today while we have you?
Well, I would say continue, everyone, to enjoy this fantastic fall. It seems to be kind of holding on, getting the cooler nights. The big game are starting to move more because of that. And I just wish everybody a safe and enjoyable hunting season.
Excellent. Good luck with that Casper win, Director.
Thank you. Bye, Duke.
You bet. That's Director Angie Bruce this morning. It's the Weekday Wake Up on the SVI Radio Network.